We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
John chapter 13. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not say to wash his feet, but to clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, You're not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and I say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know who I've chosen. But that the scriptures may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it has come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now I want to preach this morning, as I said in the very beginning, that you may think that we're going to have a foot washing service here this morning, but the teaching here is so tremendous. The teaching here in what Jesus was saying here concerning this is so needful for us today. And if I would take a text this morning, it would simply be Jesus the humble servant. Jesus the humble servant. Now, the last night, this was the last night of Jesus' earthly ministry. And it was very eventful. You can see there in the first verse, he prayed his great high priestly prayer. He taught his disciples many valuable truths. He observed the Passover meal with his disciples and was betrayed into the hands of his enemy. And through all of this, Jesus knows that in the morning, that he will go to Calvary and there die on a cross for the sins of humanity. And so this is that bitter cup. And so, however, before he begins this event this evening, before they come to the table to eat that last meal together, Jesus takes some time here to teach these men a very serious lesson in servanthood that still speaks to us today. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about you and I as Christians, as servants this morning. And in these verses, Jesus reveals his heart, and Jesus reveals his mission. He proved to these men that he did not come to be served, but that he came to serve. Look what Mark 10:45 says. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And so that's why in showing himself to be a servant, a man, Jesus left us a very vivid picture here of the kind of heart that you and I should have for others. And so in these verses, among other things, we find that God's will for our life is learn to give ourselves in service for others. Right. Now, that's not what most people want to hear. But that is what Jesus taught us. Yes. That our mission, our job in life is to give our lives in service to others. And as we look at these verses here, I challenge you this morning to let God speak to your heart. I pray that you won't sit here with a closed mind this morning, but I pray that you'll say, "Lord, speak to my heart. I want you to speak to me here this morning." It may be that you may be able to see yourself as you really are today. And that's what I always pray when I go into a meeting. I say, "Lord, show me myself the way you see me. Not the way I see myself or not the way somebody else sees me, but I want you to show me how you see me." And hopefully that's what the Lord will do for some of us here this morning. So because if he does, if there's something wrong in our life, then we can come to the Lord and we can fix whatever it is that may be wrong in our life here this morning. So let's look here at Jesus, the humble servant. Now, I want to see the first thing. I want you to see the work of an humble servant. Verse 1, this verse tells us that Jesus knows that he is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. He knows that he's about to go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind. He knows that the end is near. Yet through it all, his heart is still overcome with love for his disciples. Knowing he was going to die on the cross, and how horrible the suffering was going to be, he was still consumed with love for his disciples. The Bible says that Jesus loved them unto the very end. And so that is, Jesus loved them. He loved them perfectly. Jesus loved them unconditionally. And Jesus loves them eternally, just as he does you and I here this morning. And so his love never wavered, even in the hour of his own crisis. So what a great encouragement that should be for you and I here this morning. You see, Jesus loves us with the same kind of love that he loved his disciples. That blesses me. I don't know whether it blesses you or not, but it blesses me to know that Jesus loves me. He loves me unconditionally. And so that's what Jeremiah is saying. Jeremiah said that Jesus loves us with an everlasting love. That means that love never ends. It never stops. He loved his own unto theirs. So Paul tells us that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. And so here in Christ Jesus, regardless of what transpires in your life and mine, we are loved perfectly. We're loved unconditionally. We're loved eternally with the awesome agape love of Almighty God. Yeah. How about that?
Amen.
We're loved. And so this verse, verse 3, speaks of the life of Jesus. When he came into this world, he came as one that was sent from God to live a sinless life and become sin for fallen man. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he has made him to be sin for us." He made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus did not sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He has accomplished everything but the cross up to this point. And he knows that after the cross, that he is going to return to the Father and once again share in the glories of heaven. And so Jesus had one purpose when he came to this world. And that one purpose that Jesus had when he came to this world was to die for sin. And he accomplished this purpose on behalf of every man, on behalf of every one of us. Jesus died for the world, yes he did, but he died for you and I individually this morning. He died for every one of us. And so the Bible says here, in fact, the cross is the absolute, indisputable proof of his love. Romans 5:8, that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us when we were sinners. Before we came to love him, before we came to obey him, while we were disobedient, unholy, wicked, Jesus died for man. Now mankind may discount everything else that God has ever done for them. They may write it off and they may say it was luck or it was whatever. But mankind will never be able to shrug off the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins. Mankind will have to say, he died for me. He died for the world. This cross stands as a monument this morning for the awesome love that God has for you and me. That's what that cross, Kenny pointed out there on the screen, stands for. It stands for, I love you so much that I allowed my darling son to die on that cross that you could be saved and escape the penalty of your sins. Now I want you to see here the labor of this humble servant. In verses 2 and 4 and 5, we see the master doing the work of a slave. In those days, it was very customary for a slave to wash the feet of visitors. And not to provide this kindness would be considered uncivilized or have been considered inhospitable if they didn't provide that. But apparently there was no servants there at that time available to do this job for Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus himself gets up from the table, removes his outer garments, pours himself a basin of water, and he began to wash the feet of his disciples. Then, can you imagine? Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty in human flesh, the Creator of all things, had humbled himself and began to wash the feet. How they should have been amazed. They were amazed. The Lord took the job of a servant, a slave, and he washed their dirty feet. And yet, as indescribable this scene is, Jesus was doing something here that was unknown to all but one of the disciples. He was washing the feet of the very man who would later that same evening betray him to his enemies. And Jesus knew the heart of Judas. He knew that this man had never been saved. John chapter 6 and verse 70. He said, I chose you all. Did I not choose you? And I knew that one of you was a devil. And so just because Satan put the thought into Judas' heart to betray the Lord does not indicate that Judas was someone saved and then he lost his salvation. That's not what that says. That's not what that means. He was unsaved from the very beginning. He was a devil. For where Jesus himself had illustrated or indicated that Jesus, that Judas was not one of his true believers. And instead of focusing on some minor doctrinal issue here, we should instead see this great truth that's contained here. What is that truth? What is the great fundamental truth that Jesus is teaching us here? And it is, even though Jesus knew the heart of Judas, even though he knew Judas's motives, even though he knew the plans that Judas had to sell him for 30 pieces of silver, still he loved him and offered him several opportunities to repent before it's too late. Give him opportunity after opportunity. Boy, I'm so thankful here this morning that the first time that Jesus offered me the opportunity to repent and be born again, that he didn't cut me off when I refused, but he continued to give me opportunities until one day I took advantage of that opportunity. And that is the song we sang a while ago, "I've Never Been Sorry." But even at that point, it was not too late for Judas to be saved. It wasn't too late. He still had that opportunity. But notice what verse 18 and verse 20 through 27. In these verses, Jesus repeatedly shows Judas that he knows what he's up to. He knows exactly what he's up to. Jesus has given Judas an opportunity to turn his life over to Christ. Jesus even served Judas as a slave would serve his master. The love of God never fails. He loved him. And can I say to you this morning, God knows our motives. God knows everything about us. He knows our hearts. He knows the very intents of our hearts. You cannot fool God. God knows everything. You can sit there and be thinking awful things and I don't know it, but God does. You can be sitting there with bitterness in your heart towards someone and I don't know it, but God knows it. You can be sitting there holding grudges against people and I don't know it, but God knows it. And so what a lesson for every person here today, but especially maybe to someone who's here that's never been saved. Please understand that the love of Jesus will never end. It will never end. It's everlasting. You may reject every attempt of Jesus to call you into himself. But rest assured, no matter how many times that you refuse his grace, his calling, his effort, you'll never be able to turn off his love for you and for your soul. Love you. In fact, he already humbled himself on your behalf when he went to the cross and he died for you. You think that Jesus is going to give up on you? When you are the very one that he went to the cross to die for.
That's right.
For me. And so here's the work of the humble servant. Now I want you to see the words of the humble servant. Look in verse 6 through verse 7. Simon Peter here, I want you to see his shock when Jesus makes his way around to Simon Peter. Peter is very skeptical. He simply cannot believe that the Lord would want to serve him. I stand amazed whenever I consider what the Lord has done. When I consider what the Lord is doing. And when I consider what the Lord will do in my life, I stand amazed that he would love me. That is far beyond my comprehension, how that he can love me. And so here in this, after all, there is no merit in any one of us sitting here this morning, no matter how good of a person that you are, to commend us to God.
Right.
If every one of us sitting here in this church house this morning, if we got what we deserved, we would be in hell this morning. Right. We deserve that. We'd all have sinned. Yes. But thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve.
Amen.
He gives us what we do not deserve.
Yes.
And so because of that, salvation and all the benefits of Him is products of God's grace. We enjoy what we do, not because we deserve it. None of us sure this morning deserve the blessings that God has bestowed upon us in 2016. I didn't deserve all the blessings that God has given me every day. But because God gives it, even though we don't deserve it, that's grace. That's grace. The undeserved, the unmerited favor of God toward guilty sinners. Notice that there's not nobody who's too bad for grace. Aren't you glad of that? The sinner of all sinners can be saved. And so when Peter hears that Jesus is really planning to do this, he responds here in verse 8 with a triple negative, I guess you would say. He tells the Lord, in effect, "You will never wash my feet." Then he said, "No, you will not wash my feet." And then he says, "You will never wash my feet." And this is the equivalence of irreverence. After all, the first condition of discipleship is obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So the first rule of discipleship is obedience. Peter is simply refusing to submit to the Lord. And he does so through a false display of humility. In other words, this seemingly on that, "Oh Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." That was seemingly humility, but it was a false humility. Now look at this and see here what he was saying. Jesus reminds him of a great truth. Unless a man is willing to submit to the commandments of the Lord, he can have no fellowship with the Lord. Obedience is the proof of love. Don't you tell me you love Jesus when you don't obey what he tells you to do. Obedience is the proof of love. We may tend to feel ashamed when the Lord blesses us because we know we don't deserve his goodness and his mercy and his grace. Yet at the same time, we are to accept those blessings and those gifts with praise for him. True fellowship with Jesus is found only in humble submission to his plan. Even when that plan seems here to contain the opposite of humility. Now we see here when Peter hears this gentle rebuke, he throws himself before the Lord and he said, "If washing my feet will bring me closer to you, then don't stop there, but wash all of me." This is the attitude of surrender that God can bless. He wants us in a place where we're looking to Him and His will before any other consideration. Think about it just for a moment. Let me ask you this question. What is it that motivates you? Peter was motivated here by the thought of being closer to the Lord. Now here comes the New Year's resolution. I think it ought to be the desire of every one of us in here as a Christian this morning. That in 2017, I want to get closer to the Lord. I want to be closer. I want to get closer. And so, here he says Peter was motivated by this. And I would ask you the question this morning, getting closer, does that move you this morning? If you're right with God, it will. If it doesn't, then there's an indication that there's definite room for improvement in our walk with the Lord. Now look here in verse 10 and 11, a word for all of the saints. Jesus is telling Peter that when a man has washed his entire person and he gets his feet spoiled or soiled by walking through the streets, all he needs at this point is to wash just his feet. The image here is very, very crystal clear. It's very obvious what he's saying here for the believer. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, when you got saved, when you asked Jesus to come into your heart, He forever washed us from our sins. Isn't that not right?
Amen.
When I kneeled at that altar and asked Jesus to save me, He forever washed me of my sins. Cleansed me with the precious blood of Jesus. And so, We have been eternally cleansed from head to toe already through the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But however, as we walk through life, as we go from day to day, we tend to fall into sin and we need cleansing. Is that not right?
That's right.
We fall into sin, we need cleansing.
Yes.
Not for the entire person, since that was accomplished when we were saved and it cannot ever be repeated. But just for that particular stain we gathered when we sinned in our daily walk. Now this is where 1 John 1, chapter 7, through chapter 2, verse 2 comes into play. But if we walk in the light as He in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And what He's saying is we've all sinned. If you say you haven't sinned, then you're deceiving yourself. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've sinned, that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now Jesus is teaching us that we do not need to get re-saved every time we sin.
Right.
Let me give you a good doctrine here. You can only be saved one time.
Amen.
Just as you be born physically one time, you can only be born spiritually one time.
Right.
You can't get re-saved over and over and over.
Amen.
That's not any teachings of the Word of God. So Jesus says here that you don't need to get re-saved every time you sin, but we do need to come to Him for forgiveness.
Right.
And restoration for fellowship.
Man.
You see, if you allow yourself to go on in sin, you'll keep widening that breach between you and the Lord. And the secret to true spiritual joy is the practice of instant confession of sin and failures before the throne of grace. I'm saying if you want to have joy in your life when you sin, you come immediately to the God and you repent of that sin. You say, well, I don't know. Well, what's wrong with you that you don't know when you sin? You need to spend a little more time in the book and a little more time with the Lord. I promise you, if you're a Christian, you're going to know when you sin. The Holy Ghost will let you know. There'll be conviction if you're saved. And so you get saved, you don't let sin build up. You see, Jesus is still washing feet this afternoon.
Yes.
You hear and you got a little part dirty, you got a little bit dirty by sin, then come to Jesus tonight in that blood cleansing. And His blood cleanses us from all sin.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.